Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon. Happy holidays, everybody. Hope you are having an unbelievable December. We're getting close to Jan 1 of 2018, and that is what this Clubhouse episode is all about. I had Jeff Shackelford on to just recap 2017 with me and really just have a conversation about the year. We talked about our favorite shots. We talked about the tournament. We'll remember in 10 years, we brought up the Dustin Johnson season that started that was really dominant until the Masters. We talked about the Sergio Garcia Masters victory that's kind of been forgotten, really, if you look at the season, if you read these recaps. It seems as though almost Sergio's win was lost in all of this, despite being his first major victory and finally breaking out at Augusta National in that playoff with Justin Rose. So a fun chat. We dove in on a lot of stuff, including Jordan Spieth. What to expect from some of the names that had a lost season last year, like Rory McIlroy and Jason Day, Henrik Stenson, even Phil Mickelson and Tiger, who have hopes in 2018 of coming back to the game and hopefully getting a win. We haven't seen one from Phil and Tiger in a long, long time. So a good chat. Hope you guys enjoy it. And if you're thinking of some last-minute gift idea, I have to tell you that the Ogio Mutant Travel Bag is something that I've been pleasantly surprised about. I got it a few months back. I travel quite a bit, as you know, with work. And having a travel bag for the golf clubs is very important. I got the Ogio Mutant travel bag. They even slapped the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon logo on there, which was very nice of those guys. And it's been unbelievable. It's huge. It's got so much space for your clubs and your jackets and your vests and your gloves and an extra pair of shoes, maybe a pair of gym shoes in there. It's got two huge compartments on the side to fit the golf shoes if you need them. But I just love that it's secure and it's roomy, so you can get everything in there you need. And if you go to ogio.com right now, ogio.com right now, and you check out and use the offer The Clubhouse, you'll save 20% right off the top. That's 20% off a Mutant travel bag or a backpack or a golf bag or even just a travel bag you might need as you get set for 2018. Last minute gift idea, if you need something for the golfer in your life, use The Clubhouse at checkout. Boom, you'll save 20%. It's a win-win for everybody. It saves you a little bit of dough around this holiday season. Check that out and everything that Ogio has at ogio.com. And Jeff and I went pretty long, so I want to get right to it. No more from me. Let's get to the conversation with Jeff Shackelford. And we now welcome into the Clubhouse one of my favorite people in golf. I don't know if he knows this or not, but that's a true fact. Jeff Shackelford, you know him from jeffshackelford.com, from Golf Channel, Golf Week, Shackhouse Podcast, all of the things that you always do. We were just talking before we started about you being busy. How are you busy in the off season? This is supposed to be the time that you kind of get away from this game.
Well, when you have a blog, Shane, you never really have a down off day. So if you don't post things, people start to wonder what's happened to you or what's wrong with you. And I actually like some of the year in review. This is the natural year end time to reflect on the season, not in September whenever the wraparound ends. So I actually enjoy this time of year being reminded of some of the things that took place.
Yeah, this is the year end, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to chat a little bit about 2017. We'll hit on some stuff for 2018 as we quickly approach Hawaii and all that comes with that. But I'm with you. I mean, golf's done now, which is nice. I mean, you see some random events, father son stuff like that, that'll appear on Golf Channel here and there. I will say to Golf Channel, and this is a big plus one to them and their networking, is I just got a puppy. We've had him for about three weeks. And these recap shows on the channel all day, every day, they are a lifesaver. I mean, I can throw on old golf and almost enjoy it as much as new live golf. Is that weird, or is that just a thing golfers do?
No, I saw your tweet on that, and I saw that you you got reprimanded on that as well by my boss at the Golf Channel, and I've had many chats with her about this. She knows how I feel. But yeah, I love those events, and I think the channel was built on a lot of those. And I think that people enjoy kind of going back in time, whether it's seeing the bad clothes or the quality of the broadcast and all that fun stuff, and just the way people play the game and the swings and the changes. It's kind of shocking, really, how dated some things look that weren't that long ago.
Not that long ago. I mean, you even look at a Rory, you know, from 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, and it's just
all
these people are completely different.
Yeah,
it's even Dustin. I mean, if you look at Dustin in 2006, you know, he didn't look like Dustin now. So it is a very different thing. But I'm going to start you off on an extremely light question. This is going to be an easy one to get into. What was the highlight of your year in golf in 2017?
Well, I just wrote a piece for Golf Week, actually, on that. They ask you to write your year in golf, and I wrote my year. And My highlights were, it was sort of a three-way tie, so I lumped it all.
That's cheating. Come on.
Highlight obviously was the Open Championship in terms of being a fan. That was the moment as a media person, fan person, whatever you want to call us, fanboys, to watch that and see that was really great. But I had to lump in the Walker Cup at L.A. Country Club because of the work that Gil and I did on the course there. But I also, the U.S. Amateur was just so amazing. And the thing that was the takeaway and the way I kind of lumped all those together and cheated on this is that they were such amazing moments for the people who were there in person. And so, and I know you feel this way having covered those events, that I felt and wrote that golf needs to figure out more ways to get people closer to the action, because when they have that experience, it totally changes their impression of the sport. And people in LA had not had events like those where, other than, you know, Riviera, somebody hits it in the trees, you get close to the players. And Riviera is one of the better, more intimate venues. But then I had people saying at the U.S. Amateur, I don't think I can ever come to the Genesis again and enjoy it after walking the fairways with these guys and, you know, meeting their friends and family and hearing them discuss a shot and you know, high-fiving them. And so that intimacy of that experience to me was kind of like my big takeaway of the year. And then at the Open, of course, the people who got to witness Jordan Spieth over on the other side of the dune had a once-in-a-lifetime experience too. So that was it really just all three were kind of came together in the same way, and that's what I'll remember the year by.
Yeah, David Fay, by the way, we have to credit for the non-ropes at the Amateur. He says he did it basically because he didn't want to put him up one day. He didn't want to post the U.S. Amateur. This was decades ago, and his boss said, fine, don't do it. And then now we can get closer than ever to these players. And as you said, I mean, me personally, I guess you could split it up, but you know, the two amateurs, and I'll include the women's amateur as well.
Yeah, you really
San Diego.
Got a close-up view of that women's.
Well, but, you know,
amateur.
30-hole playoff, a 13-year-old makes a 70-footer. I mean, it was one of those events, and social media is beneficial minimally at this point, I guess you could say, in the sense of actually having people interact with you that comes off positive. But that event and the people that were coming to FS1, you know, as the 30-hole playoff kept going and kept going and kept going, more and more golf fans kind of coming to it, and people are talking about it on social media. You know, it's not 1 million or 2 million or 10 million people doing it, but the fact that you could see golf fans come because they wanted to just see a good match was a lot of fun. And then, of course, what we got at the U.S. Amateur was a lot of fun. You know, I mean, I think that of all the people that are getting a bad shake from year-end reviews in 2017, I think it's Sergio Garcia. I mean, I feel like that's almost the forgotten story.
Totally forgotten. Yeah, it's bizarre. But it does feel like ages ago, doesn't it, Shane? I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but it does feel like – but I think it speaks to the quality of the year, and that's what I've enjoyed about the year in review stuff is I'm kind of reflecting on it and seeing what people are picking for shots and tournaments. And you know, I mean, look at the – like you mentioned, the U.S. Women's Amateur, that crazy match – There were a lot of things like that this year that stood out, and he finally wins a major in the Masters, and there were some incredible moments in that final round, and it's sort of forgotten, and it has nothing to do with him, I don't think, or the Masters, or anything. It just happens to be that we had compelling things happen after that as well.
Yeah, and I mean, the year really, if you think about the PGA Tour here, if the year, you know, belonged to Justin Thomas, something I want to talk to you about with JT is what would you consider, and this is a little bit of a look ahead, but what would you consider a good to great year for Justin Thomas in 2018, considering what just happened to him in 2017? Because, Jeff, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure he'll ever have as good a season in the rest of his career as he just had with the major win and the FedEx Cup and all the PGA Tour victories. I mean, he shoots 59 and 63 and makes a hole-in-one. And he, as I've said, he checked off the bingo card, if you will, in golf for the season. And now he gets set for 2018, you know, riding a momentum wave. But what's a good to great year for Justin Thomas?
I think a couple of wins and contending in the majors would be sensational. Just if you go off the recent track records of players who've won a major, it's really become almost an epidemic of people who break through and then disappear. It's just so peculiar, whether it's a Stenson or a Danny Willett, gosh, you just keep going down the list of people who suddenly kind of...
Jason Day, Rory, I mean, they've fallen off after these career seasons,
it's,
right?
It's just bizarre. So, obviously, the money is intense, and he seems to have not been affected by it yet in terms of having to... I think having to... just wanting to be home and enjoying his riches. He seems to still be hungry. So, to me, for him, it's just staying healthy and the way he lashes at the ball, that's always going to be something that he has to be, I think, mindful of. He swings aggressively, and he sounds like we had a conference call the other day. I don't know if you called in on that. The tour did, but he's been working out a lot, and he's put on some weight, and that all to me sounds great. I mean, all these guys have taken the off season the way I'd hoped they would, which is shutting it down and trying to get a little bit stronger and refreshed and all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting. As we head into 2018, and something I'm going to write about and something I'm very, very excited about, is we had all these great stories, and we just talked about a couple of them. We'll talk about a few more. But, you know, Sergio gets the major win, Justin Thomas with an enormous breakout season, Jordan Spieth continues his run at a Grand Slam with that great win at the Open, and on and on and on the stories go. Dustin Johnson was really the story of the start of the season before really whatever happened at the Masters.
Yeah, by the way, speaking of, forget Sergio, how about Dustin Johnson's start to the year completely?
Yeah, three in a row headed into Augusta. It was unbelievable. And I mean, he was, if you didn't pick him as your favorite. Yeah, if you didn't pick him for your favorite for the Masters with the way he's played there in the past and the way he was kind of trending in that direction, and to see him, you know, go majorless was pretty surprising. I would say very surprising in golf right now. But, you know, this is really, we're leaning and heading into a 2018 where it seems like a redemption story type of year. And that's, you know, outside of the JT and the Jordan Spieth continuing to play well, you've got Jason Day, you've got Rory, who, you know, were basically non-existent last season. You've got, you know, Dustin Johnson, who probably wants to have some revenge at Augusta National in a few months. Phil Mickelson, and of course, the guy we haven't mentioned yet, 9 minutes in, is Tiger Woods. I mean, it seems like 18 could be a redemption style season for some of the biggest names in golf that were really forgotten last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I wrote another piece for Golf Week that I don't think is online yet, but, and I've said this on a few things, but the thing that I'm most hopeful for is that we get that generational clash kind of thing going, because the game at its greatest moments and the events when people cite the all-time great events, almost every one of them has been this convergence of different generations. And whether it's 1960 at Cherry Hills, or it happened back even with Young Tom versus Willie Park, and to me, that's the most fascinating thing that our sport does that really no other sport can do. Tennis, maybe a little bit, although even when Connors was older, you know tennis. He wasn't that old. And currently in tennis, there's nobody young and thrilling.
It's just Federer.
Taking on
that's right. Federer.
And so we and I think you're right that it feels like the fun will be, well, everybody will get caught up in the young guys versus Tiger and Phil, the old guys. And then right coming down the lane, like in a great horse race, there's Justin Rose. They're sort of the middle-aged guys who just kind of nobody pays attention to, and they go and win everything. So I hope everybody kind of stays healthy, because that's what, to me, is exciting about the way the year's aligning that we have. Just, you know, when you think about it now, the disparity in ages, it's a pretty big deal when you get 20 years apart. That's a big difference. And then you throw in the whole thing with the bonding at the cup events. And, you know, I mean, I'm dying for Tiger and Phil, who've buddied up to these guys, to be in contention with a Justin Thomas or a Ricky, who are pretty friendly. But, you know, are they going to resort to a little gamesmanship, Tiger and Phil? They've been known to do that. I mean, that would be phenomenal. I love gamesmanship. It's so much fun. I mean, you watch the old events. They've shown the Tiger Y.E. Yang one, and there's Tiger just looming everywhere on every pot with Y.E. Yang, and it turned out Y.E. Yang didn't even notice him. So
right,
kind of
arms crossed in the background. Tiger was never that far away. I mean, he never would admit it, but he knew exactly what he was doing. Do you know what one of my big hopes for 2018 is? And it won't happen, and I'm crazy. I'm not Hal Sutton. He didn't take over this podcast. I want to see Phil and Tiger team up at the Zurich. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, I know.
Why won't they do this?
Now, so Phil would have to pick Tiger.
Right.
In that scenario. Yeah. So first he'd have to commit to playing the Zurich, which is at a time of year when he
spring break time
generally,
right?
Is you know, he's in now in U.S. Open mode. But yeah, it would be phenomenal. I mean, that event. And by the way, there's another great story from the year that I think has, I don't know if it's gone, it was well reported. I think the shocking thing is that from the Zurich Classic and what that meant to that event, that sponsor, and the attention they got, the fact that other sponsors weren't lining up at tour headquarters begging for a format tweak, or to be the next tournament that's a you know, a team event or something, is a little surprising to me, just because of the positive vibes they got off of that. But again, on the list of, there's been so many interesting things this year, that's more of a business side story.
Well, what event do you think that we will remember a decade from now? So in 2027, what do you think the event from 2017 will be the one that we remember the most? Does it have to be Speed?
It has to be. It has to be that Open, just because I mean, don't you feel that way? It was the old guy, Kuchar, battling him. It was another, you know, basically a match play situation, like Stenson and Mickelson. And I think we remember the ones where it really was down to two people. And while Kuchar's not as maybe as memorable as Phil losing to Stenson the way he lost, it was, I mean, I watched a lot of Kuchar at that Open for different reasons, and he was playing so beautifully, and he was at the Scottish the week before, grinding. I mean, he just did everything right. And to lose that event the way he did, it's just got to be brutal for him. It's just such a tough loss. And then the way Spieth handled it and the way he recovered, and I think that's one we'll always talk about. But I think Sergio's win will pick up a little steam.
I think so, too.
We start seeing you know, one of the reasons, this is a weird thing, Shane, but we don't see Masters highlights very much.
Agreed.
And so we're going to see Spieth over and over again at the Open, because they allow the scene to be shown over and over again. I was watching a little thing that Matt Adams and I did on Golf Channel the other night, and you know, we showed a Getty image of Sergio making his eagle on 15, because we can't show the footage,
right.
and ESPN can't show the footage. You can't go on YouTube, and this is, I've written columns about this. It drives me batty to no end. The Masters is so good about almost everything, but the one thing they have some sort of thing against YouTube. So any kid that wants to go and watch great moments in the history of the Masters goes and watches it through somebody's television set. And these are people who are obsessed and so good at presenting quality and sharpness and the most innovative ways to see things. And Billy Payne, of course, was obsessed with children being inspired by golf and their heroes and all that stuff. And then there they are going on YouTube and watching Bubba's shot off some guy's television set. It's just weird.
I just want to know how fast 86 Masters full, you know, the full length on YouTube, how fast that gets to a million views if and when the Masters, you know, opens up their YouTube channel and allows people to do that, because
yeah.
that'd be quick. It'd be like faster. You know, I mean, this would be getting tens of millions of views.
Now that one's up there in parts, and it's not labeled well. You have to, it's like some sort of secret society thing to find it, and it's just peculiar. Oh, and then adding to how bizarre this is, now I just finally got the latest Apple TV, and I need to get the Masters app. I'm glad we have this chat, Shane. You reminded me.
The
Masters
app this year. It's the holidays. You got to ask for it.
Well, thank you. I have a terrible memory, and I now remember I wrote pieces about the app had embedded in it the final round broadcasts of all of Arnold Palmer's wins. And you talk about fun viewing for somebody like you who loves those old golf tournaments. To watch the original broadcast is just, it's so fun. They're short, you know, so. But those are on their app, and then you go, and then you can't find anything. And anyway, it's so. I think my overall point is, I think it hurts the Masters a little bit that you can't see those highlights over and over again.
Yeah, they showed the replay of 17 this past week on Golf Channel, and I was surprised. I couldn't believe that
yeah.
It was going. I mean, again, it was the first. It was the, as you mentioned, it was the first time I'd seen it since the final round, watching it there in the media center. So, I mean, I got to kind of replay it in my head and see the ups and downs of Sergio, and then reading Doug Ferguson's piece about it. And he's saying, you know, the thing that surprised him was his mental ability to not get rattled was something that he really took away from that. So,
by the way, I have the 86 Masters literally memorized because it's a very somber story in the Shackelford family history. But I was there, and we laughed. And so
you left the 86 Masters.
We were there all week, and we left Sunday. My dad, it was a bad one. Wanted me to be back at school on Monday. But I had a tape of it, and I still have the VHS tape. I've had since put it on to a DVD, and it's incredible to watch that. And as an aspiring golfer, that was important to me. So I've written this one. I've tried Chairman Payne. Still didn't bite, so it'll be up to Chairman Ridley to embrace YouTube.
New chairman, maybe he's a big YouTube fan. Okay, you said what event we'll remember. I think you and I both agree that the Open is one that we'll remember. I think that, you know, for us golf nuts, the Amateur will be something to remember, the comeback there from Doc with the eagle birdie finish. But what's the golf shot you think you'll remember in 10 years from now that happened in 2017, of all the golf shots that went down?
Well, I mean, personally, obviously, Doc Redman's putt on 17 at Riviera for eagle that was still rolling
if it
probably it was moving, and it just the whole thing was surreal what he did. So for me, that's my personal one. But I think as far as the history of the sport, obviously Spieth's eagle at 15 at Birkdale will be played over and over again for any number of reasons. The putt, the shock of it, the reaction, and that reaction's kind of gone I think underrated in how bizarre and funny it was him to do what he did, telling Greller to go get the ball. And he was inspired by watching the highlight films from earlier in the week, and that was pretty cool, because in person you know people probably thought, what a jerk, like, what is he doing? And and it was a fun little instantaneous homage to the old days.
I think there's a chance that edged out of that, besides the eagle, because so many good shots happened in that five-hole span from Spieth, that it's almost hard to pick one out. I mean, nearly makes a hole-in-one on the par three and makes the eagle putt and just continues to pour in these birdie putts after birdie putts as poor Matt Kuchar's watching on. I wonder if there's a chance that I don't think it's going to be the Travelers bunker shot, but I do wonder about the John Rahm eagle putt. You know, his first big moment as a professional, and he makes this unbelievable putt that nobody can make from the back of the green there at Torrey. I just wonder if that's going to be, you know, his moment, if you will. That's going to be the shot that everybody shows every time they talk about John Rahm, because it is now. You know, I mean, it is that shot right now of John Rahm. And so if he does win two majors in the next 5 years and becomes this force that we expect him to be, or we think he could be, I wonder if that's going to be the putt that we always remember, that we always associate with John Rahm. And I wonder if that'll be the golf shot that we kind of think about. Speaking of John Rahm, I just want to know what player.
I think that's a fair nomination. I just think he's got a ways to go in the attitude department.
He gets a little frustrated. He still gets a little hot under the collar.
It gets a little scary out there with him sometimes. And it's so bizarre because he's such a gentleman off the course and to the press and the fans, and he's so genteel and classy and well spoken, and then he just turns into a monster out there. It's bizarre.
it's not
unprecedented, by the way.
Right,
this has happened in the history of the game many times.
We've seen plenty of names.
Everybody said it was one of the nicest people you ever met off the course.
Which player this past season surprised you the most, and what player, and this is for lack of a better term, disappointed you? Maybe not disappointed you, but just feel like you maybe had a very disappointed 17.
Obviously, it seems cruel to say that Dustin Johnson disappointed after the start he had, but really the way he just never got going again, I think it was just bizarre, and who knows why, it's a game of streaks, and he clearly was in a zone for a while, and he lost it. There are a lot of players I kind of look at and you just think are so talented, and you wonder what's going on, and it could be anything. It's such a fickle sport. It just takes so little, and I think people take that for granted sometimes. Biggest surprise. Gosh, there's so many good. Yeah, I mean, I have to. I don't know. I can't think of one. There's not one that just jumps out at me. I guess Rory. Rory's whole whatever he was doing there in the middle of the year, the changing the equipment,
whatever it was,
the putter fiasco. Where was that? Where he was doing the putters on the green? Oh, was that it?
But you know, it's what
demo day. What was the demo day on Saturday? Was that at Boston or was that at BMW?
Yeah, I think anyway. it was one of those playoff events. But you know, thing about Rory is when you watch these highlights and you see him in and out of it, and I mean, you almost forget that he was even playing in some of these. Even when he finished top 10, I mean, the year was so dominated by these other storylines, and you go into it thinking, you know, he's got a good chance at the Masters and all the majors if he's playing well, yada yada yada. And the year was just such a bizarre season. I mean, you hope it flips a little bit. I'm with you. I think
that was
the surprise
of the year. Oh, it doesn't take much. I mean, just pick a putter, and he has a beautiful stroke. I don't. Yeah, it just boggles the mind how he overthinks putting. He has a very nice stroke. We know the ball striking's going to be there. He makes odd decisions, and I just hope that he now has everything settled down, and he just picks a putter, picks his schedule, doesn't get carried away in the gym, and he'll be fine.
Okay, give me.
I really believe that.
I agree with you. Okay, so give me a grade on Ricky Fowler's career thus far, and you can include what just happened in Albany at the Hero, of course, with how he played in that final round. But just grade Ricky Fowler's career, because I feel like, again, and I've said this a lot on this podcast, I just don't think Ricky Fowler gets the credit he deserves.
Yeah, I was going to say B+. You know, obviously, the only thing missing is a major, and maybe a few more wins. But gosh, you know, people are irrational about what they expect of golfers at a young age, just because we got spoiled by Tiger, we got spoiled by Phil, and we've gotten spoiled by Jordan Spieth, and now maybe Justin Thomas if he keeps this going at a young age. And it's really not a young person's game. It's early 30s, late 20s, early 30s is really the normal peak for a normal male golfer. Not a female, but you know, they peak a little bit younger, but that's the normal. He's right in his window here of what should be his prime, and I think his career is sensational in every regard, and it's just a matter of getting a little bit lucky, and he's put himself in position enough times, but it's not like it's become an epidemic of, I mean, there have been some big blow-ups, but to me, it's not. I get annoyed by
me too.
The storyline that there's something wrong here, and I think it just goes to our youth obsession, our unrealistic expectations about this sport versus other sports. It's just and again, we have some young players, and the players are so much more polished now at a younger age, so that throws us off a little bit too. But ultimately, it's a hard sport. You travel a lot. It doesn't take much to throw you off, and we have to be more patient with these people.
I think so too. And I mean, you know, when I'm around, you know, when I spend the summer with guys like Paul Azinger and Faxon and Curtis and those guys that, you know, they played the tour for decades, you know, they talk about majors, and I love talking majors with them, because they can recount it like it was yesterday, no matter what the Masters or what the U.S. Open or what the British Open was. And you know, one thing they say is there's two ways to win a major. One way is you win it, and one way somebody gives it to you. And they always talk about how nobody ever gave them one. You know, they always say, oh,
yeah,
I had to go get it. And, you know, nobody made a double on the last hole to give me this major. And, you know, it's the same with Ricky. I mean, he's been so close so many times. And, frankly, other people have just taken it from him. And I think we're going to eventually get to the point where either he's in contention because he's in contention a lot, Adam, and he wins it, or he's in contention and somebody makes a bogey on the last hole and he gets it that way. And either way, nobody cares. He'll be a major winner, and then people can stop asking him when he's going to win that. So I've got a little game here. I've got four questions. True,
okay.
False, or asinine, okay? So you've got to give me, if you think it's true in 2018, false, or if it's just batshit crazy, okay?
Okay.
First question. And we haven't talked much LPGA.
No, we haven't.
Lexi Thompson will make a cut on the PGA Tour in 2018.
False, but I wouldn't say asinine, because I feel like you have some sort of inside knowledge here that there's a sponsor exemption potentially looming out there. Am I correct?
No, I just I have this sense that with, you know, her playing a couple times in this team event and with her season last year, you know, the ups and the downs, and of course, you know, the main factor here is the fact that she can hit a 275, 280 consistently,
right,
at least get it out there and play with some of the guys. I feel like we're getting closer to this, and I could see her accepting a couple of invites. I could see, we've already talked about the team event, I could see maybe something happening there where she plays, maybe she plays with Finau again or something, but I just wonder if we're nearing that point where Lexi says, I'll try this. We've seen other players do it. Let's see if Lexi can do it. And I think, you know, if she's making five-footers, I think she's got a chance to make a cut or two on the PGA Tour. I really do.
Oh, it'd be fun. I mean, it's such a cool thing to have a crossover like that. When we've had it, it's been surreal, really, when Michelle Wee and Annika, and, I mean, going back, you know, Babe Zaharias, that was one of the things that just amazed people about her when she did it. In the LA Open. I mean, I've gone back and researched all that. It's a cool thing. And, yeah, I guess the only thing I would say in Lexi's case is it's been a turbulent year.
No, trust me.
Why not? I would go for 2019.
Okay.
Have a nice, normal 2018.
Okay.
Just, you know, the mom's healthy. I still don't see it that she cheated. I can't fathom these people who just go, oh, look at that. She's a cheater. Terrible. Like, I don't understand. It just drives me nuts.
You just went full Jerry Seinfeld right there, by the way. That was like full Seinfeld moment.
I just read something the other day about Don. It's just like, come on. What? Are you kidding? You had to zoom in. It's blurry. She was not trying to get an advantage. Yes, they're. So anyway, I won't whine anymore about that. I don't understand that.
This is a replay conversation across all sports platforms for another day. But I totally understand.
Yeah.
All right, next question. Question number two, and here we go. Tiger Woods. Now, this isn't what you think it's going to be. Tiger Woods will be in a final group over a weekend in a PGA Tour event in 2018.
Oh, absolutely true.
Absolutely. He will play in a final group on a weekend this coming year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to even go so far as to say it'll be pre-Masters. If he plays like he did at the Hero and swings the club and looks and comes off as content and calm and grounded, I mean the West Coast is his that's his baby. He loves it. West Coast and Florida, really, are just – so, yes, I think absolutely true.
All right, well, so we'll follow up with this.
You're going to go false?
You know, I think that the heart and the brain are in a big fight over anything with Tiger in the coming year. I've seen good, you know, at Albany this year, and I do think that there was a different man out there than we've seen the year before and really seen in the last two or three seasons. I just fear the talent level of the PGA Tour. That's my only thing. My only thing is I just feel like he can go out and shoot 3, 4, 5 under, but can he do it for 4 days? And that's what you've got to do basically these days to win a non-major. And I'll be interested to see if he's able to piece that together. Listen, rooting for it as much as anybody. I mean, anytime Tiger does something good, it's good for you and I. But I would probably go no. I would probably say I don't think he'll see him in a final group on a weekend of the PGA Tour next year. But I hope I am.
The whole year.
The whole year.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm very, very wrong. All right, and second question on Tiger. Tiger is going to be on the course, not in a golf cart, when the Ryder Cup goes to France.
That's a tricky one. I'm going to assume that he's. It's you know why it's tough, because let's say he has a good year, he contends a few times. And he gets some points, and he's 18th on the Ryder Cup, and he doesn't play a lot, because does he really need to play more than 15 times?
Right.
The problem I have is, I think Phil already has one of those captain's picks if he does not make the team on points. There's just no way Jim Furyk is going to be the one to end his streak, and the way he plays in these events is unbelievable. I mean, Kisner is a good player and loves match play, and was going to be great at the President's Cup probably anyway, but he does something in those events that is contagious that he doesn't do the rest of the year. And I just would be shocked if he's not one of the two picks. I mean, it could be that Tiger and Phil would be both picks, but so I'm going to go with. I'm going to go false, I think.
Okay, slight false on the playing on the Ryder Cup team. It would be really hard to go Tiger Phil with your captain's picks if you're Jim Furyk, just because as you just look at the lineups of these American players, there's 11, 12, 13 guys you want on the team. And, I mean, you're gonna have somebody, just like we saw this year at the President's Cup, somebody get bumped or a Hoffman situation right there at the end, and then you're going to want that guy to be on the team because they played so well for a couple
Although,
of years.
Although, we've seen with Bubba that the task force has declared that if the captains don't like this person in the team room, even if they're first to miss on points, they're not a lock, which I always, if I were captaining a team, I'd always feel like that first player to miss on points is almost a lock, but they've thrown that out the window.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's crazy. Bubba just blackballed almost from those team rooms if he doesn't make it in the top 10.
Wow.
So here's one, and this is an interesting one. I'm interested to see where you go here. There will be a player that will have a putt for a 57 on either the PGA Tour or Web.com Tour in 2018. And that's on the final green. That's not on, like, the 16th green.
Right. True. I think that's very possible. The combination, golf course maintenance is so unbelievably good now. And, I mean, I was just thinking about that. I was reading a quote, and Dan Jenkins was harping on how guys used to bitch about golf courses. They almost never complain about conditioning anymore. I mean, it just tells you how good they are week to week. And then TrackMan and the depth of the fields, as you've mentioned. I mean, everything suggests that it's kind of shocking almost that we haven't had that. I mean, Furyk came close to getting there.
Yeah, he got a bad break, really. Yeah, he got a bad break on the par four. I mean, what was it, 15 when he hit the driver and it landed right on the front and didn't roll out? I mean, if it rolls out,
that was another one. Yeah, so he very easily could have had it. So that's a golf course where it seems very likely that would be the case. I'm trying to think of any other par 70s that would be that vulnerable. So, yeah, I'm gonna say it's true just because, frankly, the scoring has been it's almost – and this is not a knock on the guys. It's just because 59s are 59s, but that there actually haven't been a few more. Hawaii's another.
I'm with you.
Great place for
I agree with you. I'm
You're
I'm on
your
too. Yeah. I just think that these guys are so good, and the fear of going incredibly stupidly low is just not a thing anymore. I mean, we'd go years and a decade between 59s, and now it seems like you're going to have one every 4, 5, 6 months because there's not – it's not even the number. I mean, as you said, 58's now the number if you think about the PGA Tour. I mean, 58's the number to shoot at. So it's crazy. And what I've always told people about this is when you look at the list of guys that have done it, it's not like this Hall of Fame murderer's row list of guys. I mean, these are regular – regular PGA Tour players that had a hot week, you know, outside of, you know, Furyk and JT. I mean, it's not – Tiger and Phil that really make up the list besides, you know, when Phil had a putt for 58 at the Grand Slam of Golf or whatever it used to be called before they went away. So if we're talking 2017, I do think it's worth it for both of us to give a quick shout out. The Travelers, the Waste Management, we've even mentioned the Zurich. These events that weren't big events on the calendar have learned to embrace the culture, the youth, and invite these guys, and they're doing it, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, the Waste Management lineup, we've getting these emails. It has already got some of the best in the world, and you're seeing these guys say, I want to play in the fun events when I can, especially early in the season. So note to all the other tournaments, do that. And so I ask you this, if a golf fan had one event to go to in 2018, just one event, and it's not the Ryder Cup, which one are you telling them to buy tickets to?
It's still the Masters. I mean, it's not very original, but I actually just kind of went through a lot of the tour events, and for Golf Week we're doing a little ranking, and we're ranking everything, parking and different things, and it is fun to think about. I mean, the Players is a really good, fun event in a lot of ways. They are constantly improving it, and the food has now gotten to be outstanding. Obviously, the Waste Management's for a certain certain crowd and a certain vibe that you're going for. But I mean, every tournament has something. Although what I love is how competitive it's getting. I mean, the match play in Austin to me, once you get to the course, is sensational because it is a little bit of a climb in some spots. But you can follow a match. You can. There's great food, beautiful setting, again, fun atmosphere. And I mean, that's an event that in short time in that market, and part of it's the course, the club, is very supportive, and they limit the galleries. You know, there's a bunch of different things that have come together. But it's neat seeing how competitive all these events have gotten. But most of them are still inspired by the Masters. They're still taking certain ideas from that. Not all, though. Not all. They're still missing certain things that the Masters does well, like affordable food. So that's still the one. If you can get in, that's still the best. In terms of the experience, I don't know about actually watching golf, because you can't really follow a group, and you got to work to get out to a spot pretty early on. That's why, like, we did the best hole on the tour for Golf Week, and I picked the TPC's Sawgrass 17, because it's just you've got room, you can pick tee, you can sit at the green. There's a ton of corporate things. You're right next to all the great food and merchandise and fun stuff to do. It's by the parking lot.
you can get out if you need to. I agree with you.
Yeah, you can make a quick exit. So it's got a convenience element and a space element that's kind of nice. So I'm excited. I think all these tournaments have to keep doing it, though, because if you don't make the event constantly better and you don't make it a thing that people can bring somebody who doesn't like golf, but who just enjoys being out in a beautiful place and seeing beautiful people and having some nice food, you're just going to die as an event. Like our event here in L.A. has had some of that, but it just hasn't had that focus and the commitment and then the consistency. And that's where waste management's so good. And when you think about in the memorial and the ones where people, it becomes an annual thing. The people, even the players has that, although I was told in March it was better, where people feel almost like, you know, they're left out or they've made a mistake not at least going one day to the tournament because it's just kind of an annual civic fun event.
Yeah, I've lived in Phoenix for a long time. I mean, the waste management chatter already has begun. I mean, people start talking about it now. I mean, this is not even Christmas and people.
Well, that
are
event's
saying,
on another level.
Well, for sure, no. But
it's crazy, but it's a credit to the people involved who run it.
Yeah, they do a great job. And you mentioned Austin. I totally agree with you. I mean, that's an event we do with PGA Tour Live every year, and you get down on that back nine, which is really the front nine by the Pennybacker Bridge, and it's a lot of fun to see those holes, and you got some great viewing. What you want to see, if you're talking about a great hole, and you mentioned it was 17, you want to see more than one hole. That's the key. So, I mean, as long as you can see two things happening, that's important.
But there is no shot at 17 that is boring. It is always interesting. It doesn't matter who is coming through, and that's the way the best holes are, 10 at Riviera. I like 17 at TPC Scottsdale myself. I think you see more bizarre things there, and then like you said, you can pop over to 18 easily if you sit up at the green, and there's always plenty of room. Nobody's ever watching that hole, but if you want to watch players do interesting things, both good and bad, the short par four is just so much more fun than a par three, because you see creativity, you see risk taking, you see mistakes, you see eagles, and it's just to me, that's just been a great trend. I've started to see people trying to lament the short par four thing, and I just very much disagree.
you're saying you can't make it. It's got to almost be natural, right?
Well, look. I get people feel like it's become a cliche that you have to have a short par four. Fine, I get that argument, but. No, I'm like the 12th at Sawgrass this year was not well received. And yet, if you looked at the shot link data, if you stood out there at the tee and you watched the players go through the options, it was phenomenal. It was doing exactly what you'd hoped, and guys tried to drive it. And everybody, the takeaway was, wow, there was no incentive to drive it. Well, go look at the shot link. A whole bunch of people drove the green it was fascinating to watch, and it made the players think, and it totally changed that back nine in a good way. So yeah, it was totally forced, though. It was totally man-made and created, and I could see why people don't like that. I happen to think it was a great addition to the course. But
well, It was a fun year. I mean, it was exciting. Year.
It really was.
We saw, I mean, and we didn't even touch on this, and it was something I was going to ask you earlier, but I guess I'll ask it now as we kind of get going and wrap up. If you were looking at the Spieth season, was it a good year or a great year for Jordan Spieth?
Oh, he won a major. It was a great year.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, don't you think? I mean,
yeah, for sure.
He won the Open, so he could have missed every other cut, and I think it's a great year for somebody like him. I think that's the whole reason he plays at this point now, right?
He's just trying to add to the major count. I agree with you. I think people, they continue to underestimate the Jordan Spieth effect and what he's able to do on the golf course. And I get so sick of when you hear anybody, announcer or otherwise, talk about Jordan Spieth and say anything besides the fact that this guy's a brilliant golfer and a brilliant mind around the game. I don't care if he hits it 5 yards shorter than Dustin Johnson, he's still got all the skills and all the ability. And it's just crazy that anyone would say that. I mean, you almost see it in his face in press conferences when somebody brings up his putting now. You know, it's like his face, it tenses up. He doesn't want to say anything back, but he wants to go, look at my stats. I'm one of the best
right.
in the world.
Yeah, look at the greens and regulation. Yeah.
It's just it's crazy.
It is funny, and even players, though. Players will say that, oh, eventually he's just not going to make as many putts. Well, yeah, same with you. I mean,
right, exactly.
But he also, it's clear that he's more than just a good putter, and I mean, I think 18 is going to be a great year for him. Shinnecock's great for him. He doesn't seem to be bothered by playing in the wind, as Ricky doesn't seem to either. He grew up in Marietta, so he knows when. And then Carnoustie should be great for Jordan. I think any Open Championship course at this point is great for him. So it should be an excellent year. Belle-Reeve is terrible for him. I don't know who it's good for, other than it's probably going to be, you know, a bomber's place. But it should be a great year for him again. The only thing, I just hope he paces himself well. It seems like that's the key for him.
Yeah,
is when he's rested doing what he likes to play 3 weeks in a row, and doing that, he's incredible.
Well, it'll be a fun 2018. It's not far away.
Was your highlight of the year?
You know, I mean, when I look back on
between your work gigs and traveling everything.
The highlight of my season was the amateur swing. Really, I mean, I think being in, you know, let's be honest, being in Southern California is not bad. And I think when you go two straight weeks in San Diego and
umbrella.
LA and you get a chance to see a back and forth affair down there in San Diego at a golf course that I didn't know much about that really, really surprised me with how intelligently built it was. And then you go, you know, up the street to Riv, and you know, getting a chance to call action to Riviera first was really exciting for me. But the matches, the names that were in it, the back and forth, even Doug Gim and his dad were a lot of fun to kind of be a part of.
They were awesome, yeah.
And then knowing the Walker Cup was right there on the back end of it. I mean, I think if you're ever asking for a match play event to be scripted, that's what it was. I mean, it was in L.A. It was at one of the most historic golf courses in the country, and it came down to some of the best golf shots you will ever see from a guy that was two down with two holes to play. I mean, how
crazy
can it get much better than that? I mean, it took me back to the mid-90s with Tiger and what he would do in those events when he needed to.
And Shane, he'd never played on Kikuyu until that week at Riviera. And I haven't pinned this down, but I'm pretty sure he hadn't played on a whole lot of Poa greens. And, I mean, these are massive things you have to adjust to. But we've seen players through the years, definitely, you know, a Phil and Tiger, they love Kikuyu and Poa. They know it. They've grown up on it. And to go and do that, to go win at Riviera that way. And by the way, those greens are hard to read. They're subtle. They're tricky. They're weird. Everything breaks to the ocean, and sometimes you can't believe it. And he just goes and does that. I mean, it was a freakish performance. And I just feel, you know, Doug played amazingly too. It was a great one. And then sadly, the Walker Cup kind of got lost because of the hurricane. A lot of people didn't end up seeing it. But Spider Miller was phenomenal.
Oh,
and
that guy. I want that guy to be like my life coach. I just want him to just be able to, I can call him and be like, hey, Spider, I got a couple things I'm working on. What should I do? I just feel like he's like the voice I want in my head. You know something, and we didn't mention this yet, and we should mention it. A very underrated moment of 2017 was the whole Stacey Lewis win up in Portland.
Yeah.
I mean, being able to win after announcing what you're committing that money to and right after the hurricane and all that stuff. That's pretty gutsy stuff from her.
A lot of people have picked that as their 1 week single performance of the year, and I certainly wouldn't argue against it. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, we saw some good stuff from these golfers. They continue to impress. These guys are these guys and girls are years above whatever you see on their Wikipedia page. So it's a fun season. We're a couple weeks away from it kicking back off in 18. Jeff Shackelford, you can always read his stuff at jeffshackelford.com. Shack House Podcast. Download it. Subscribe to it. Write a 5-star comment. He'd appreciate it. And you can see him on Golf Channel. You can read him on Golf Week. So many things. Take a couple of weeks off, for goodness sakes.
Well, now I'm all excited about the year because this year was so good. And in hindsight, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't really think it was – I thought it was a very good year. And now as you talk it through more and the things I've been reading, it really was a sensational year. So we got to kind of savor it before we – okay, I'm going to savor the year.
Savor it. Savor.
Don't worry. I will move very slowly into 2018.
Okay, perfect. Just slowly through
Hawaii. When they show up at Torrey Pines, that's when I start to get excited.
Well, I will be excited. I'm just excited to see golf again. And in the meantime, you can, of course, listen to Shackelford's podcast at Shack House Podcast. And also, you can watch a whole bunch of replay stuff that we just talked about on Golf Channel because they're doing a great job of replaying those.
Yeah.
And it's been excited to kind of go back and watch it. My wife comes in and she goes, "What year was this one?" She just thinks it's ridiculous that I'm watching like the 1974
PGA. That's not exactly binge viewing material there, I'm sure, for most people.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate the time, man.
All right. Thanks, Shane.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole. It's in the hole.
Well, I hope you stayed the whole time. A lengthy conversation, but a fun one. I really enjoyed that with Jeff. Thanks to him. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, The Shack House, and you read his website. He's always got great information. I go to it probably more than most people because I'm always looking to see what nuggets he's found on the internet that I haven't found yet for that Clubhouse newsletter. Hope you guys have a great rest of your December and a great holiday season with the fam. Hope you get out and play a little bit of golf. And just a reminder, if you need a last-minute gift idea, go to ozio.com right now. You can pick up a backpack, you can pick up a travel bag, a golf bag, even just a small carry-on bag. I'm getting a roller bag sent to me right now for those 4 to 5 day trips when you need something a little bit more, but you don't want those massive ones that weigh 45 to 50 pounds. They have everything on the website at ozio.com, and if you use the Clubhouse at checkout, the Clubhouse, all one, no spaces, you'll save 20%. So you get 20% right off the top. It is a great deal. The people there are unbelievable, and the products are even better. ozio.com. Have a great holiday. Play some golf. Give your father or mother, if you're playing with them, a couple of extra strokes. No reason to beat them on Christmas Day. That's just mean. And we will be back next week.